Okay, and welcome once again to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you've been tuning in, you realize and know that we are in the book of 1 John, chapter 3. And in our last message, we read verses 11 through 24. And I spent pretty much the entire 15-minute message talking about how we got to where we were. And I did this because this is how John's letter is it's created that way. John steps his way through to get to this point of loving one another. And that's what we read in verses 11 through 24, to love one another. Did you know that there's no sin spoken about in the Bible in the first two chapters, and there's no sin spoken about in the last two chapters? And in the first two chapters and in the last two chapters, we have absolute fellowship with God. And God spent every chapter in between the first and last two chapters of the Bible trying to get us back to that original place where we began and that ending place that we will be. And all of that was to get us back to the one thing, and that is to love one another, to first love the Lord your God with all of your mind, heart, strength, and soul, and then to love yourself, or rather love others as you love yourself. So that's what we're doing here. We're getting back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. You're listening to the verse-by-verse teachings of the Wash and Word. This is the hand car washing business that my wife and I own and operate here in Church Hill. And we started this business for the sole purpose of getting these Bible teachings into your ears. We want to remind you that anytime you're in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word, simply tune to 107.1 FM. And you can hear a message from the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We play these messages on a loop. You don't have to be getting your car washed. We don't even have to be open. You can be over by the library or the antique store or by the Church Hill Fitness Center, Holston Medical Group, anywhere in the parking lot. You tune to 107.1 FM to hear a message from the Lord. We all need to hear from Him. And the reason we do verse by verse is so that you can hear every bit of God's counsel. Now, let's get back into what we were talking about in our last teaching. Remember, we read verses 11 through 24, and I'm not going to reread them, but if you missed it, you can go to our website and listen to all of our archive messages. And our website is washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and click on the media tab, and you can download and listen to these messages anytime you want to. So in those verses, 11 through 24 of chapter 3 in the book of 1 John, John is pigeonholing, or I should say funneling, all of his writings that he's done so far in this little book of 1 John to the probably the most important part of the letter, and that is having love for one another. Now, we ended our last teaching talking about our struggle with sin. And John was very clear in our struggle with sin that, first of all, we should never lightly gloss over the sin that is still in our lives. But we also need to understand that we fight a war with our flesh. And even though we become saved, we become forgiven, we're Christians, we still struggle with our flesh, and there's still going to be sinful behavior. So we can't overlook it, we can't ignore it, we can't deny it. So what do? We face it. And so how do we face our sins? There's really two options. We can excuse them away. Well, I have the flesh, you know, I'm part of this world, and, you know, I mean, there's a whole list of excuses that I can pull from my own bank of excuses I've saved over the years. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to face our sins head on. Of course, ask for forgiveness, confessing them. But more importantly, we must overcome them. And we're never going to overcome them through fear or guilt or condemnation. These are weapons of false religions. These are weapons of the enemy. And they're weapons that actually keep us from growing. See, the only thing that's going to get us over and past our sins is the understanding and the knowledge of the love that Jesus has for us. That's it. When we begin to understand that Christ will never leave us, never forsake us, and never stop loving us, you see, that is what gets us over the hump. Then we no longer want to sin. The desire goes away. I don't want to hurt my Savior anymore with my sins, knowing full well He's going to forgive me and still love me, even if I continue to screw up. And that alone is what spurns sanctification. But the challenge is, even though Christ died for our sins, even though we are forgiven, even if we sin today, that does not, nor will it ever be a legitimate excuse for the children of God to sin. And in case I haven't made it clear enough over the last 5 or 7 teachings, the bottom line is this. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ are we able to resist temptation. So that's the bottom line. So let's stop sinning. You say, well, handsome radio preacher, I've been trying to stop, but I can't. I understand that. But there's your problem. You've been trying to stop. We don't overcome our sins by trying to stop them. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But that's what the Christian faith is. It doesn't make sense to the world. We stop sinning by resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We rest in the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. We rest in the strength of the Spirit of God that has been deposited in us. We are a child of God, a son and daughter of the High King. And that King has transposed us from the camp of the enemy of God, and that is the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world, and He has put us into the camp of righteousness before God. And He has done that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So stop sinning. Stop sinning because of what Jesus did, not because you can or can't. You can't. The only way we're going to stop sinning is by resting in the finished work of Christ. And when we do that, we will begin to feel a new power well up within us to overcome. And now that brings us to our current reading, which I read in our last message, and that is verses 11 through 24 in chapter 3 of 1 John. And having established the various barriers and having drawn lines in the sand, as it were, having determined that you are of God as a believer, hopefully you have taken away that what John has written so far has taken away all of your doubt regarding your status and your standing in Christ. John now delivers us to the ultimate litmus test as to your understanding of what he has been saying up to this point. And that litmus test is your relationship with God is an outflow of your love to others. I'll say that again because it's so important to everything John has written in the first 3 chapters of this book. He brought us all through those chapters and all the things we've already discussed. Again, go to washandword.com if you want to hear the old messages. And he's brought us to the ultimate litmus test, and that is your relationship with God is your outflow of love to others. So take a look at how you treat other people. Take a look at how you love your brothers and sisters. Take a look at how you love and treat your enemies. This is a litmus test to your relationship with God. Because friends, we cannot be in a close, intimate, personal relationship with God and continue to hate our brothers. And this is especially true with those people who are considerably more unlovable than others. In Matthew 22, Jesus replied in verse 37 through 39, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so the remaining portion of what we're going to talk about in these verses is going to be about love. Now, when you talk about love, well, goodness gracious, where do we start? And more than that, where do we end? I mean, love is such a wide range of a subject, and it could mean so many different things to so many different people. Where do we begin, and where do we end? Well, several years ago, I wrote a poem that I think, you know, because it's such a difficult task to try to list and categorize acts of love to other people. And God, through inspiration, I believe, I wrote this poem. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. Regarding love, I could say that it's imperative to give to those in need, and for every poor among you that you must clothe and you must feed, or let you know that selling everything you have and own would show the Lord in heaven how spiritually you've grown. Of course, there is the ever-present mass without a roof. Giving them some money is really your only proof that you understand what love is this side of heaven's gates, to lend a helping hand to those in dire straits. Maybe love's a smile or a hand or your ear that you lend to those around you whose eyes don a tear. Love can be displayed in giving help to Haiti now, or sending money to the Ivory Coast for farms that they could plow. Loving the way Jesus loved and doing things for others will show for sure that you demonstrate love for your brothers. There's other things that you could do that demonstrate this passion, radically giving to those in need in a radical fashion. And on, the acts of love can spread across the land, sharing the love of Christ by sharing a loving hand. But this list of actions we've discussed that clarify Christ's teachings can be as full of hot air as any one of my preachings. Unless we learn the most important act of love is not in living, but it lies in acts of sacrifice, that is truly giving. It could be a wink or a nod or even a smile. It could be going the extra step or going that extra mile. Helping the helpless or feeding the poor, love can be shown by holding open a door. Or aiding old ladies to cross a busy street, getting down on your knee to wash one another's feet. When we think about the greatest act of heavenly love, that which came down from heaven up above, look no further than the nail and the cross, and remember this about your life, count it all a loss. Now that's a very poignant poem that really, though, this whole message is about. It's about us showing the acts of love, our proof of love for God, by loving one another. And so we also need to understand that the importance and the futility of discussing acts of love to our neighbor versus actually doing them. Because the very thing that Jesus equates love's demonstration to, next to loving God himself, is to loving other people. And like I mentioned before I read that poem, acts of love are boundless, and they have no borders. There's no parameters. They're not reached. You can't get to a certain goal or ascend to a certain height. There is no number that we strive to reach when it comes to acts of love. So how do we narrow it all down? Well, to stop a leak, you have to find the source of the leak. So rather than spend the next couple of messages talking about random acts of love to one another and things that we might be able to do, or how we might organize our lives to be centered around doing those acts of love, let's go to the source. And that source, well, you'll have to tune in tomorrow to hear what that is. Or if you're sitting in the waiting room, just hang out a minute. The next message will be starting in just a few minutes. I'd like to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. That's when I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And don't forget, in the parking lot, if you tune to 107.1 FM 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. That's what this car washes for. That is why we exist. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.